When the sun comes back and the first quail calls, follow the drinking gourd, for the old man is a waiting for to carry you to freedom if you follow.
Well, Celia.
Well, Caroline.
I wept.
Yeah.
I was fully crying during this one.
You've always been justified in your weeping, yeah. But this one truly more than any other time.
I think I keep saying I've been crying, but really I've been like kind of teary-eyed.
Yeah, wispy.
But I actually did cry for a whole like two paragraphs
this one
on
got
this
me.
Book. Guys, changes for Addie.
Hey guys, every bit of this book is pretty sad.
Yeah, this is maybe the saddest changes.
Even when it ends, it's sad.
Yeah. Nothing good happens in this. Nothing good happens in this.
Yeah, actually.
Besides Esther coming back.
Yeah, actually, really, nothing good happens in this book, really.
It's tough.
You know, this one should be called,
Addie's Lament.
Addie learns harsh realities.
Caroline learns harsh realities.
Yeah, Addie grows up for real this time.
Oh, my God.
It was a bummer.
It's a bummer. It was a good book, but it was so sad.
It's a good story.
In like, multiple ways.
And it's a story that should be told, as we've been harping about. But this one,
It was tough. And I loved Addie, and it felt a lot more mature than the other girls so far that we've read. And I think Connie did a great job of meeting the reading level, but not dumbing down like terrible things and like the harsh realities of like tragedy, loss, racism, prejudice. And like, I think she still managed to tell a hopeful story for kids, but I really appreciate that this, I know we were a little bit hesitant going in after Felicity to see how they handled like a heavy topic like slavery in the American Girl doll books. And I think like they did a very good job. And I think it was very sad, and it wasn't like there wasn't any like lens that like everything was better once that the walkers were free. And I hard to read, but I appreciate it.
I think it's funny that nowadays so many people who have rotted out their brains with bad things on the internet love to harp that like, oh, you're shoehorning in XYZ type of story for like DEI initiatives and whatever. And we kind of talked about this earlier in the Addie books, but I think it's amazing. When did Addie come out? The 90s?
1993.
Yeah. So in the 90s, a so thoughtfully written series of books exploring the nice and not so nice realities of a girl in the like 1800s. Who left slavery and was free and grew up in this world, and her family was separated and then reunited. It's just so funny because these stories were being told, and I think it's actually very cool. And I know we've talked a lot about like the intentionality and that like Connie was given a lot of freedom to tell the story how she wanted, but I think like what a cool book that's existed for so long. It sounds like cheesy to say, but a book that's like a couple years older than me now.
Well, I mean, you said that made me think of it. I just looked. Some of the Addie books are banned in, like, Florida.
Yeah, right, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's not. Hilarious.
You know what we mean, guys.
It's hilarious because it is, like, are you kidding? Like, these books were written not so long ago, but so long ago in that, like, we have newer ways of handling things. I'm sure they'd be written differently if they were written and released now.
Well, it's like, why don't you want people to know what it was like? Like, this isn't, like, a lie, you know? Like, people, like, it's like the whole, like, banning of critical race theory books and things that, like, show white people or just, like, the U.S. in a bad light. Like, yeah, the U.S. doesn't have perfect history. No nation in the world has a perfect history. So, like, be an adult and show everyone the good and the bad.
It's also funny because I would argue, because, you know, this company was founded and owned by a white woman. These books aren't even particularly disparaging to white people in the way that I think often these books get banned because it is like kids shouldn't have to deal with white guilt. And
yeah.
It's like,
oh, sorry.
And it's like, you know what? We read this whole series, and actually a lot of the lessons that like Mama and Papa are trying to instill in Addie
are
is like,
not to hate and not to
resent
be, yeah.
And don't hate based off skin color or background.
I know.
So
It's just upsetting, and we know that's happening, but I shouldn't have Googled that. But it's just one of those things where, like, I think one thing that I've gleaned from the Addie stories, which we've talked about in previous episodes, is there are just so many layers to, like, the, like, Black journey in America that are just beyond just every little step that Black Americans have taken to earn their, like, I hate saying earn, like, they need to earn it, but to, like, win, you know, like,
make the best lives, I think, possible.
Yeah.
Post decisions made for them.
And to pretend that none of that happened or that it wasn't bad is just such, like, a disservice to people who've suffered. And it's just so, like, lame, for lack of a better word. Like,
it is lame.
It's so, like, why can't a kid read a book that shows them a different perspective on things?
It makes, one, it's a lie, right?
Yeah.
It's like a lie and a comfort for what? Like, these are stories about, I mean, Addie wasn't real, but very well her story reflects a very real
little girl's
experience.
Yeah, something that could have
happened. Yeah. Could have happened. I don't understand. I agree. Why? What are we protecting ourselves from? These things did happen, and we can shove it under the blanket or lock it away in a closet or push it down or erase it from history books or lessons or whatever. But it's just so funny because it's like, doesn't it make even the bad makes history richer, and it makes us be able to look forward and say, like, you know, never again, or that we want things to be better. But, like, we still talk about reparations to this day. We still talk about how can we, you know, make up for these horrors. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having shame, because it's like, for things that have happened in our past, right? It's why it's been fun to read these books, even when they've been hard, because I think it's such a beautiful story. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, even sitting here and being, like, a white woman reading the book. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, me reflecting and being like, that is a shameful piece of American history. And, like, you should be confronted with it.
No, I mean, I think I remember one thing that I really admired. I was in Berlin a few years ago, and they have a lot of memorials in Berlin to, like, the Holocaust. And they have a lot of, like, out in the open areas that are, like, acknowledging the atrocities that Germany put on the world. And they're not hiding it, and they're not pretending it didn't happen. They have museums in Berlin that are directly saying, like, Nazis bad. Like,
right.
This is a shameful part of our history, but this is what happened. And I think that's so useful to people to be able to confront that in the open, and for, like, a nation or, like, a group of people to be able to say, like, with their full chest, like, this was bad. Like, okay, because if you hide it, then you're not admitting that it's bad. And if you're not admitting that it's bad, then you're, like, creating a problem, you know? And so if you're in a state where the book is banned, call your congressman and tell them that this is stupid and you shouldn't be limiting children's education on topics that are just slightly uncomfortable, because, my God, life is uncomfortable. Like,
well, and that's the real reality, isn't
yeah.
it?
So, yeah, this is a doozy of a changes, and let's
get in.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid with, oh, but I did want to say, all the chapter titles relate to each other.
Yes.
Which is cute.
I did like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, chapter one is Pieces of a Puzzle. So, it's wintertime again in Philadelphia, and Addie and Sarah are both running orders for Mrs. Ford now, and they come running into the shop to get warm after delivering some dresses. And they're a little bit late, Mama points it out, but Addie tells her they stopped by the Quaker Aid Society to check in to see if they had any news on Addie's family. They didn't. Papa did go down south like he said he would at the end of the last, in the last book. But by the time he got to Master Stevens' plantation, everyone had already left. No one was left on the plantation, and they assumed that Uncle Solomon, Auntie Lula, and Esther had made their way up north to Freedmen's camps. So he stopped in a few along the way, but couldn't find them. So they still don't know where those three are. And while they're in the shop, Sarah asks for some newspaper to stuff her boots because the heel has worn out. And so she's, like, stepping in cold puddles.
Mm-hmm. There's basically, like, gaping holes
in the bottom,
like,
of her shoes.
If I shove some newspaper in there, they'll at least, like, get me home.
As long as I don't step in any puddles.
Ugh.
And Mrs. Ford's like, you need new shoes. And she's like, no, duh.
She's like, don't I know it?
But
you got a spare child's
got some soles
in there?
For me?
Right. You want to cobble me some new ones?
And so they give her some newspapers, so she stuffs them, and this is kind of a sign, a foreboding sign that Sarah's family is not doing that well. And but they continue on their deliveries. And Sarah makes a wrong turn, Addie corrects her, and so then they reminisce about the books so far. And how when Addie first got here, she didn't know her way left or right around Philly and couldn't read. And now she's a better reader than Sarah, and she knows the city like the back of her hand. And then they talk about how Addie is such a good reader that she's been chosen for the church New Year's Eve celebration to read the Emancipation Proclamation. And Addie's nervous because there's a lot of big words.
That's right.
But Sarah's like, I'll help you. I'm like, Sarah, you're a worse student than her.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, you can certainly listen.
You can help her like by pumping her up.
Yeah. Be like, that was great. Yay.
But they like they're going to practice at school. And then they pass by the Institute for Colored Youth where the smart kids go. And that's where Miss Dunn was taught. And Addie hopes to go there one day so she can become a teacher, which is some nice little insight.
It's cute. Also, like, Sarah here is very supportive, and she's like, I bet you would, like, go there and do well. And you could do that in, like, 2 years, I think she says. Like,
yeah, when they're 11, they can go. Yeah. So she's on her way.
She's close. Yeah. So I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. And so then Addie finishes her deliveries and parts ways with Sarah, and she heads home, and she finds her family reading letters in the kitchen. And if you listen to the last episode, this is where we get the most insane cursive I've ever seen in a children's book. I don't know how any child read this letter, but
it was hard to parse.
Yes. They get one letter that's Addie's that she wrote in the last book that's all like water stained, but it's attached to a second letter that was written by a Quaker Aid volunteer who says she saw Uncle Solomon, Auntie Lula, and Esther in Raleigh. And this is the cursive that was impossible to read, but Addie reads it. And let's
Addie's got it.
Yeah, Addie's got it. Addie's from the right century to read this note.
That's right. Her brain was hardwired to read impossibly slanted and close together cursive.
And so they're like, oh, that letter was written a few weeks ago. They must be up here. They must be up here by now. And Mama and Papa are like, well, hold your horses. Like, they are old and they're traveling with a baby. We don't know. It says they were sick. It might be taking them longer than like than you would expect. And but they kind of do decide like, okay, but we can maybe start looking in Philadelphia for them. Like, we can check out different aid societies, different hospitals. Like, there's a better chance than we thought that they might be in the area. So that's some good-ish news. And it's good enough that Mama is getting a little bit of hope for being reunited with her baby. So she's sewing a little dress to match she's sewing a little dress for Esther.
It's cute.
To match, yeah, Addie's dress that she's going to wear at the Emancipation Proclamation speech. And Addie's admiring how her mom can sew all these little pieces together and they fit perfectly. And she thinks of it kind of like a puzzle. And then she's like, I'm so excited because my family's puzzle pieces are about to fit in.
It's tough, you guys. It's tough to be like, oh, optimistic, because we know how the book ends.
Chapter 2, A Missing Piece.
That's right.
So Addie can't wait to tell Sarah at school the next day the good news of her family, but Sarah isn't there. So Addie is worried that Sarah maybe is sick because of her boots. And so she's like, I'm just going to pack her slate and tell her the homework, and when I'm done with my deliveries, I'll drop it off at Sarah's. But on her delivery run, she's looking in the crowds. She's like, kind of like in a surprise. She's hoping to see like Lula and Esther. And so she's watching all the faces. No luck. And her brother Sam meets up with her at the end. And they're going to go through to some charity shops. Some charity hospitals and inquire.
He's
about
been
them.
Given a couple lists of of likely places.
Yeah. And Sam's in a pretty good mood because Addie is looking very solemn. And he's like, cheer up. She's like, why? I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, if they see you, don't you want to look happy?
Yeah, I was like, hey, King, I mean, I think it's a little deeper than that.
This family has a little bit of toxic positivity.
Yeah. And he's like, what do you have to be upset about? You have both arms. Ha ha. He's like, woo, hey, kind of that energy in the book. Yeah.
But but she's happy to have Sam. Apparently he's a good guy.
I did think their brief banter was nice little ray of sunshine in a gloomy book.
In a gloomy, gloom book. And so they go to the first charity hospital, and the nurse is a mean woman, and she's like, no kids are allowed in the charity ward. Yuck, kids. And so Addie's like, oh, shoot, I'm going to wait on the bench. So she waits on the bench for approximately 2 minutes before a large crowd comes in. And like every American girl, she decides to sneak her way into the charity ward.
That's right.
So she sneaks in, no
she
problem.
She knows the ways.
Yeah, no one questions her. Sam is me like, I knew you'd do that, so get on over here.
He's like, come on.
We're talking to this old man. And so Addie meets Mr. Polk, who's a very old, very, very sick looking old man. And he's like, good news, I haven't seen your family.
He's like, wouldn't you like to hear?
And Sam's like, he's got something to say. And he goes, don't know these people. Never seen them in my life.
He's like, come over here. I have some ancient wisdom.
But do you know, it's like so hard to like, they don't even have pictures of them.
Oh, yeah. You're just,
so you're
kind
just describing
of vague.
People.
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy.
Like if I described you, I'd be like, she's tall and she's blonde.
Yeah.
She's got brown eyes.
Yeah.
Like melt into.
Don't make me blush.
And a fun little nose.
But no, right. It's like how, well, I love like when people will do like a police sketch challenge and like they'll try
we should
to describe.
Do that.
We should, because it's funny. Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
Most people, also like most people aren't that distinct looking. Like most people don't have like crazy outlier features.
No. I look like any of the girls that Pepe has chosen on Love
That's
Island.
So funny. You are in the flavor profile.
Yeah.
Your height even matches up too.
I know. You could describe me, Hannah, or Iris.
He too would finger blast you under the comforters next to any given other person in the room at the same time.
You can take that to the bank,
yeah,
guys.
Iris, pick yourself up, please. I can't believe he's 2 for 2 on the blonde women. 3 for 3.
3 for 3, Grayson. Rest in peace.
Yeah. I saw her on Afterson. Sorry, you guys. You can cut this part out if you want to. But I saw her on Afterson be like, they revealed that like Hoda was the one who threw like the throwaway comment in about her being just like kind of
a
like,
placeholder.
Yeah. And she was kind of like, yeah, honestly, like I'm not even mad like at Hoda for like saying it. And I was like, but Hoda's real for that, because Pepe is literally just like, well, where's the next one?
Where's the next like moon faced blonde woman,
yeah,
for me?
And you know what? Like, I respect having a type. I respect the hustle. But it's pretty funny.
It is.
I'm like, girls, please. I know we're in survival mode. How long can we stay here to collect as many followers as possible?
It is funny.
But anyway.
No, I enjoy it. And I hope you guys are watching Love Island. Because we certainly are locked in.
This one's an interesting one.
But yeah, it's just like, it's funny when they're like describing them. People are like, I haven't seen them. I'm like, maybe you have.
Right.
But I guess two old people with a baby is slightly distinct.
Yes. The baby, I feel like, is the...
Yeah, that's the...
Kind of tell.
Is the scar on the face.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. They had a baby, though.
Yes. So Mr. Polk doesn't really have anything for them. But he's really happy they stopped by because Addie reminds him of his granddaughter, Charlotte. And that made me sad. Because he's like, you look just like my Charlotte. And like, yeah. And then he asks Addie to come back and see him. Sob. First tear well for Caroline reading
this.
This
is the beginning of the end of the chapters in
yeah.
my mind. Where it becomes an emotional battle.
Yeah. So then Addie goes, and her and Sam part ways for a minute, and she goes to drop off Sarah's things at Sarah's house. And Sarah's hanging laundry, and Addie goes to hand her slate, and it slips out of Sarah's hands, and it shatters. And Addie's like, oh no, your slate. And Sarah's like, well, it doesn't really matter because I've done the school.
And Addie's like,
what
huh?
do you mean? You're not Kirsten. You can't be done with
school.
Yeah,
what
school.
Do you mean? But she is Kirsten.
But she is Kirsten.
She is done.
And her parents are having a lot of trouble making ends meet, and they're not going to be able to pay the bills if Sarah isn't, like, working full time. And Addie gets very upset, and so Mabel Moore, Sarah's mom, invites her inside and tries to explain to Addie that times are too tough, and they make a lot more money when Sarah is working full time, and they just need to make money. And Addie kind of goes like, well, I'll give Sarah my delivery route. Like, she can use those tips. And then someday you guys will be able to make enough that it won't matter. And Mrs. Moore kind of very, like, real is like, Addie, we don't have time for someday. We're paying bills. I've got to get shoes. I've got to get food. I've got to pay rent. Like, someday is not good enough.
Yeah. And school doesn't pay, unfortunately. Like, she learned enough to be more useful to her family.
Yeah.
And now she has to step up. Childhood
it's
kind of
sad because it is like, I don't know. I feel like in a kid's book, to tell a kid that someday isn't good enough is like kind of crazy.
I literally said, for me, it was the beginning of the heartbreak in the book. I wrote this note kind of retroactively because I was like, I think Sarah as a foil to Addie is so interesting because they've been sort of like two girls in lockstep. Their lives reflect one another. And then now it is like the branch on the path, which is like, well, I don't get to have
everything that you have
my dreams in the same way anymore. Now my dream is like that my family survives. And like Addie's dream is still kind of like, let's everybody like get united. But honestly, like Addie's family is a little bit more settled.
Yeah.
Like they've lucked into a little bit better
careers,
a little bit better
situations.
They have
a little more marketable skills. And so they're like doing slightly better off.
Yeah, 100%. And so I think it was really sad, especially since like, I think Addie is like, but we both love going to school and we both love learning. And like, and she's kind of like bargaining with the mom.
Yeah.
Of like,
which is probably tough for the mom because yeah. She doesn't want to pull her kid out
and
of school.
And it's not her daughter either. Yeah. That's like the one who's fighting the fight.
I know, but it's just like they don't have time. They have right now, which is like woof. And so then Sarah's trying to cheer Addie up because Sarah's a little angel. And she's like, we can still hang out after church and I'll help you with your speech after church. But Addie leaves heartbroken.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
It says her heart is as shattered as Sarah's slate. Yeah. And then things don't get that much better.
They really don't. It really doesn't pick up again.
There's a little heartbeat of them. So chapter 3, the last
flat
piece.
Lines.
This is going to be tough. And the next one's going to be tough. And I'm
going to
try.
The one after that's going to be also tough.
There's like 4. It just feels
You're
like
right.
a lot happened.
It just feels like there's 5.
Yeah. I'm going to.
The
I'm
last
gonna...
chapter is so long.
I know.
I
it does feel like
that's why
I
thought it was 2.
Yeah, I did too when I was writing the notes. So chapter 3, the last piece. So Addie's family is continuing to look for their missing family in the hospitals, churches, and societies, but they're not really having luck. But Addie has kept her word, and she keeps going back to visit Mr. Polk every few days. Which
it's so
I think
cute.
Is very nice.
Yeah.
And she's a good kid. She's such a good kid.
She's a good kid.
She's so sweet. And he's getting healthier, and he's looking better. And Addie tells him that he looks way better. And he says it's thanks to her, because he's been looking forward to her visits, and it's been giving him something to have hope for. Just like, no one's visiting this old man except for Addie.
Oh no. Oh my gosh.
And like, so he's like happy that she's coming to visit him and she's helping heal him and he's getting better. And then Addie has been losing hope, but talking to him and having him remind her that like having a little bit of hope helps you get through the day gives Addie a little extra hope. And so she thinks like, I'm just gonna go look at a few churches on the way home, like as I'm walking home.
Just in case.
And she's like delaying her trip. It's getting dark. And as it gets dark, she sees on the steps of a church a old woman and a baby. And so she shouts out, Esther. And the old woman looks up. And it's Auntie Lula and Esther. Which is such crazy luck.
Oh, 100%.
But you know what? I'm going to give it to them.
And you know, fine. Because this is the last time we're happy for the rest of the book.
Yes. And so Auntie Lula comes up and like is shocked to see Addie, and Addie's shocked
oh
to
my
see
gosh.
Them. Like, thank God.
Yeah.
And then she goes to Esther and she introduces Addie and she goes, this is your sister. Like, do you know her name? And Esther says, Addie.
It's so cute.
And she says, yeah, this is your big sister that Uncle Solomon was always telling you about. And then Addie goes, like, where is Uncle Solomon? And Esther says, oh, we'll talk about it when we all get together.
Yeah, she's like, don't worry about it now.
Don't think about it. It's fine. Shh. So then they, at the boarding house, Addie's family gets the shock of their life when they're worried that Addie's late. And then Addie rolls in with her long-lost sister and
oh my God.
Long-lost aunt. Can you imagine?
Addie's like recollecting her family, like kind of like catching wild Pokemon.
Yes.
She's like in like the right place.
Gotta
and
catch
then
them
she's
all.
Like... Got him. Yeah, literally. Like, that's how I felt. I was like, yeah, if I was mama, I'd be like.
Thank God I brought Addie with me.
I know. Addie is like a family magnet. They're like, back
there's
together.
Addie.
There she is.
So mama like literally bursts into tears and grabs
Valid.
Esther and hugs her. But Esther is scared of her.
Esther doesn't know who she is.
And so Esther goes and grabs for Auntie Lula, which if you've ever known a baby, the worst feeling in the world is when you're holding a baby and they want to go to someone else.
And that baby is done with you.
Yeah. And I did think it was, it's obviously very realistic. I did think it was interesting that she included that because I don't know if kids would understand that babies do that, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, again, there are times where stuff is written, and I feel like especially in the Addie books.
For the parents reading them?
Yes. Yeah. These books especially, I feel like, were written in a way to be like, and here's a different thing you can address with your children if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Wink.
But yeah, because then Auntie Lula says, like, don't worry, she'll get used to you again.
She's tired. She's, like, worn out. Yeah. We've been traveling.
But I can imagine it really stings when you've been thinking about your baby for, like, 2 years almost.
Well, it's so silly, but reading this part kind of made me think about in The Handmaid's Tale. Spoiler alert, if you guys care. But when basically she doesn't get her daughter back ever. Well, in part because even when she does see her daughter doesn't know who she is. So she's like, but that's my baby. Like, this is my child. The whole point has been to get my daughter back, and I think people were upset with that. But it is like. But that daughter doesn't know her anymore.
Yeah.
And that's heartbreak in a different way. But it kind of made me think about it. Because it is you spend all this time yearning for and thinking about this person. But when you're young, you're developing so fast and things change so fast that if you just throw a baby into a new environment, then the baby's going to adapt to that environment because it needs to survive.
Well, and it's even with my nieces and nephews, they're both under, they're around, I think my nephew is a little over two. But they, don't really remember me that much. He's starting to remember me more. And I think, because he's, FaceTiming me now. But, their first year or so that they were born, I'd be there for a trip. And we'd get to a good rapport. And we'd play. We'd have fun. And the next time I came, it'd be
who is that?
Who's that again?
Yeah.
And, they just don't remember. No. She truly doesn't have a memory of her mom, which
right.
is kind of sad.
Oh, it's so sad.
Especially because, Miss, Ruth has just been wanting to hold her baby for, 2 years. And to have your baby be I don't want you to hold me must be
sad. Devastating.
So it gets sadder.
Yeah. Surprise.
So they all sit by the fire, and Auntie Lula tells them that Uncle Solomon made it as far as he could. But that he was very weak and tired when they left the plantation. And basically, he died in the last freedmen's camp they stayed in before they got to Philadelphia. And basically, they stayed on the plantation as long as they could because they were old and they didn't really know where to go. But Master Stevens left and all the slaves left and all the crops were drying up. And that's when Uncle Solomon got sick. And so... He said that he didn't want to die on the plantation and he wanted to make his way up north and die as a free man. And so they made it just outside Philadelphia before he passed away, which I always hate when people almost make it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't know. Devastating is just the right word for the end of this book, because I think there is such a beauty in that they made the push, they left and they're like, and he was like, I'm not gonna die here, this isn't my story, it's not where my story ends, but then that he doesn't really get a choice in where it ends because the conditions of the life that he lived up until he was free, and then even when he was free he became sick because the infrastructure fell out from
beneath
him.
You have to remember this is two old people
walking
from North Carolina to Philadelphia.
In the elements, and it's winter.
Yeah.
When they're making the push, to go north. So it is,
And so it's just...
sad.
So everyone is very sad, and they go to bed. But as they're going to bed, Auntie Lula asks Addie to go get Esther's doll from her bag, and it's Janie. And so Esther has kept Janie this whole time, and Esther knows that her big sister Addie gave her Janie, which is cute.
Which is very cute.
So cute,
again,
so
a nice little before it gets even worse.
This is gonna be the tough part, I think.
This is it's the last chapter, but it's the hardest.
Oh my god, this
so
is
so much happens, and it's
none of it's fun.
It's all pretty sad.
Yeah. So chapter 4 together.
Oh.
Question mark added by Caroline.
Dot dot dot. Frowny face.
So Esther and Lula are still asleep when Addie goes to school the next day, and she stops by Sarah. To tell her about the good news about her family. Sarah's got new boots.
Yeah.
So child labor is good.
It's her Christmas gift.
Yeah.
That's mandatory because she has to do work. So she probably can't have broken shoes.
So she's like, so I guess it's supposed to say that like her family situation slightly improved, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But it only improved, right, because of their child doing work.
But Addie got Sarah a new slate just in case. And she also offers to come by after school and teach Sarah in her free time so that Sarah doesn't get too far behind.
Yeah, it made me emotional, that little offer. Because I think
it's cute.
It's also cute that, like...
It's also kind of an empty offer, which is what's kind of sad about it.
Right. It's a thank you for saying it, even if it's kind of a... It's a fruitless effort in that, like...
Addie's not going to be able to fully teach her.
No,
you
and
know?
Sarah's reality... has already shifted, like we kind of talked about earlier. So, but I did think it was cute. And I actually really like that the undercurrent of Addie's kind of story is how much like education is important to her and like how much like school, like, and having access to it, like changed her whole life. And I just thought that was cute as like an aside, because continuing education as an adult wasn't so expensive, I would be in school forever. I love learning and I love being in school.
No, and I think like for Addie, like education is how she gets her freedom in her own way. Mm-hmm. You know, the freedom that she like kind of wanted.
Yeah.
She wanted to go to school
and
she wanted to
and be
learn.
A teacher.
And that's one thing that she has like slight control over in this kind of uncontrolled environment. And so I do like that. It is sweet. It is just like sad though, I think, for Sarah.
Oh, it is. And I think that is why like Addie is like, education is like freedom.
Yeah.
So I'll give whatever bit of freedom to you that I can.
Well, and I do, as sad as it is, I do appreciate that Connie didn't have us come into this chapter and be like, good news, we made so much money over Christmas that I can go back to school in the new year. Like, the situation hasn't changed. It's gotten better because the situation changed, you know? Like,
right.
So that's where we leave Sarah, kind of, for the book.
For the end.
Yeah. The end for Sarah. So then Mama and Miss Golden have cooked a celebratory dinner for the return of their family. Sweet potato pie again.
Mm-hmm. It's so back.
We gotta make it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't like sweet potatoes that much, though.
In museums.
It's kind of like the same like category of food I'm not the biggest fan of. But I'll eat it for the thrill.
For the bit.
Yeah.
Will you eat it for the bit?
Maybe.
So... but Auntie Lula is too sick to come down.
Ooh.
And so Addie offers to bring her up a plate of the food. And so Addie brings it to her and she's not hungry, which made me go, uh-oh.
We've seen this film before and
I
didn't like the ending.
So I did caveat, this part made me weep. Like, this is where I was like openly weeping for like three chapters.
It's so sad.
So Addie's sitting with Auntie Lula and she's sad. And she tells Auntie Lula that she's sad because Uncle Solomon never got to experience freedom. And Auntie Lula says that from the minute he heard the Emancipation Proclamation, he said that he was a free man. Sorry, this is so sad. He said that he was a free man and he like celebrated in their cabin and like got on his knees and thanked the Lord. And that like he saw himself from that moment onward
as free.
And mm-hmm. So he did get to live as a free man because he felt it. And he died the way he wanted to up north, like on his journey to freedom. And then Auntie Lula tells Addie that she shouldn't be sad about Uncle Solomon dying or her dying because some people's dreams have to be carried on by those who love them.
I know.
And
it's crazy. I mean, in like the best way, it's so sad, but it's so beautiful.
It was really beautiful.
Yeah, it's a very moving, I think it is the most moved I've been by any of.
Yeah.
Of course, we've talked about, you know, historically the context, historically the weight, but I think, like, it is so beautiful.
Yeah. And I don't know, I just think the idea that, like, basically she's saying, like, our dreams of freedom don't die with us, they, like, get carried on with you. And
yeah.
I think that lesson has been, like throughout the Addie books. But then Auntie Lula dies two days before Christmas.
It's crazy.
And I read that and I was like, oh my gosh.
It's, I was kind of in shock. I, like, kind of just sat there for a good minute.
I was so sad.
I feel like I should have seen it coming. Like, it wasn't going to be a perfect reunion.
Yeah.
But knowing it, like,
I remembered Uncle Solomon died, but I didn't remember Auntie Lula died.
I think it's I'm devastating. I'm going to say the word again. But,
yeah. And so she, it said, just says in like a quick little paragraph, like Auntie Lula died 2 days before Christmas. And so Christmas is a sad and quiet time that year, and it passes without much joy for the Walkers. And the New Year's celebration is coming up, and Addie doesn't feel like giving her speech anymore. And so she's sitting in her room, like in the dark alone on her bed, and Mama comes up to comfort her, and she tells Mama that she doesn't think she can read a speech about freedom when her own dream of having everyone together has been crushed. And she's sad that Lula and Solomon are gone, and she's sad that they never got to see Esther, like, learn to talk or take her first steps. And then Mama reminds Addie that what Solomon had told them when they escaped, that freedom had a cost and that it could be high and painful. And then Mama, like, reminds Addie that her cowrie shell necklace is from her great-grandmother. And all the people from our past are with us on all of our journeys. And they're linked to us, like, forever in our hearts. And I was just, as
it's
I am
so
now,
good.
I was
yeah.
sobbing. And it kind of did echo what we talked about. We don't need to go into a whole nother mortality bit like we did with Felicity, because we really...
We made our points there, but yeah.
But it's the same sentiment, I think, where it's like you have to, like, I think teaching children that, like, death is like the end in a way, but it doesn't have to be like the end of that person's memory or what that person meant to you and what, like, that symbolizes, I think, is like a very beautiful lesson to teach.
Well, I think it sounds dramatic, but my only, I think, additional thing to add that I think this explores versus Felicity is that, like, you're never truly dead until, like, the last person doesn't remember you anymore or until, like, your story's not told. And I know it sounds hokey, but, like, you know, when I give my ghost tours, that's always sort of, like, the heart of it. Like, that's why I end it with, like, I don't know, any one of us could die and somebody could decide to tell stories about you forever and pass you on. And I think it's very beautiful that, like, she goes from getting to have, like, you know, most people don't get closure. Closure is kind of a made-up thing, I think. But that, like, she kind of gets the closure about, like, Uncle Solomon, and then, like, her mom kind of gets to help close the door, too, with, like, Auntie Lula's death. Because it is, like, they're not gone. And they're gone, and you can't have a conversation with them anymore. But the memory of them
yeah.
doesn't go away.
Yeah. No,
and, like, how lucky you are to remember somebody, right? Like,
yeah, and to know that you can help, that you can carry on someone else's dream and you can, like, keep their memory alive by, like, honoring them. And so, like, Mama kind of gives her a good talk that made me cry.
Yep.
And the talk, like, cheers Addie up. I wrote with
a little quotation mark.
Little quotation yeah. marks. And so she agrees to go give her speech. And so then we cut to the church, and it's time for Addie to go up, and she's very nervous, but she looks in the crowd for her family, and as she's looking at them, she thinks about what freedom has cost each of them, and she thinks about Uncle Solomon celebrating his freedom, and she has the courage to, like, finish the speech, and I was a mess, and she thinks about, like, Esther, and she thinks about Sam losing his arm, and how she wishes, like, Auntie Lula and Uncle Solomon were there, but how she knows they're with her in her heart. And then after the speech, like, the crowd is, like, dispersing, and she's looking for her family, and Esther finds her first, and she grabs Addie's hand, and Addie asked Esther, where are we going? And Esther says, home.
I know.
And the book ends.
That was to say, that part got me the most weepy. It just, because, like, oh, like, you get your whole family back, but, like, the cost is heavier than ever. And it's just, I think this one is the most, like I said, moving American Girl book we've had so far, but it was, like, the first changes I finished and been like, oh, okay.
I was, like, so sad.
That happened to me.
I was, like, sitting on my bed, like, what just happened? This is a kid's book?
Yeah, I feel like I was like, and then where's the next chapter?
Where's the chapter where everything is happy and yeah. everyone who's dead jumps out of, like, a closet
yeah.
and is like,
surprise!
You're kidding.
It was a joke.
No. Freedom is better than you ever imagined.
Yeah, it's like, I think we made the point kind of at the start, kind of throughout. These books are the most we've dealt with, like, introducing adult themes and ideas to a child
mm-hmm.
about racism and history
and loss and loss pain and abuse. And
yeah, it's a lot.
Everything.
Yeah. So Connie had a huge mountain to summit, and summit it she did.
Good job, Connie.
Good job, Connie.
My God.
Our
don't ever make me cry again.
I know. It's heavy. I know there's some spin-off Addie books, which I imagine might have some lighterness. She is a mystery book. And then there's a book I think that's literally just about her and her sister.
Okay.
So I imagine that one might have more.
Let's hope there's some
softness
happiness.
Of heart in there.
I hope so.
Let us know, you guys. Is it happy? Some of you guys really love Addie. So
yeah, please let us know. Should we read another Addie book to make us happy?
Did she get a little bit? Yeah. Is there a book that would maybe like tie it up in like a slightly nicer bow?
Please. Please. So. Anyway, please. We're so, sad girls. Peek into the past. Changes for America. They start by mentioning what I mentioned in the Happy Birthday episode. Credit. About how Lincoln's assassination really effed up Reconstruction and it didn't go as planned. But slavery was outlawed and the rights of black people and other races were written into constitutional amendments 13 and 14. Women, still not citizens, couldn't vote. Not yet.
The history of our country is really bizarre.
That's up to Corn Dog to fix in Samantha books.
That's right.
So it kind of goes into how Reconstruction wasn't easy and segregation really like took the place of slavery kind of and became its own form of slavery in a way where there's separate but equal facilities and segregation wasn't illegal. And it meant that there was a lot of systems that were unequal and black people were kind of pushed into worse as you've seen, like the water fountains, the white water fountains, huge, black water fountains, tiny, like. It kind of talks about how that was kind of a pushback against the freedom of black people and discrimination and segregation were kind of rampant for a while. And it would take a century plus more of fighting for black people to achieve equal rights in America. And then it goes into some notable figures of African-Americans in history, like Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Thurgood Marshall. I'm sure you guys all know Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, but Thurgood Marshall was a like prominent Maryland lawyer who helped kind of end segregation. Homer Plessy, he did Plessy versus Ferguson. Langston Hughes was a black poet in the Harlem Renaissance. Jackie Robinson was the first black baseball player. And Daniel Hale Williams, he was the first person, not black or otherwise, to do, I think, open heart surgery. And so they were all prominent black figures in America, and they kind of go through a list of all these accomplishments, which I thought was really
It's good. Nice.
Yeah.
As opposed to sometimes it feels like when they list things out in the, like, people's names, at the end it's just sort of like, and then they were there. But I think it was a nice, I guess where we're joking about, like, the end of Addie's story is kind of melancholy, but I think it's nice to, in the peak in the past, at least use it to be like,
to show the strides that people made. And yeah. Like, yeah. But then it does. I did like that it said civil rights fights continue to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say like that it was all over.
It's amended and it's good now.
Well, because I don't know if you remember in school, I remember at least for a little bit, at least when I was in like fourth or grade or something. So when I was around 9, when I would be reading these books, it kind of felt like when they taught us about this, that they told us that like it was all over now and everything was good.
So
like they told us the civil rights movement happened and everything got fixed kind of.
I feel like, okay, I went to a charter school for fifth grade, and then I went back to normal middle school, and then, like, learned a lot of the same things. And then in high school, I went to, like, another, like, magnet-type school. I feel like in high school, we went deeper into it because I was taking, like, college in the schools, like poli-sci and like historical classes, and then that was like, okay, here's where it gets nitty-gritty. But I agree with you. I feel like in fifth grade and in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, it was like in fifth grade, because I was at like a slightly different type of school, they were like, here's the lowdown. And then when I went to like normal public middle school, it was like, so yeah, and then like, you know, we fought the good fight and segregation ended and they let like black kids study with white kids and everything was fine. And I was like, I don't think that's right.
Feels like we're missing a chapter.
Feels like something, yeah. Feels like something's missing. Feels
or the
like
chapter's something... not finished yet.
Yeah, you guys, it's like a dot, 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 but yeah. They're like, ignore it. That's just a smudge on the page.
That's just a...
I do agree with you. I think like, and even in high school, it's still a little bit like, it's so funny that there's so much pushback to, you know, like book, like, or there's so much like book banning and stuff. Because honestly, even in high school, I feel like it was very like surface level. Yeah. Like, yeah, things are actually still kind of bad and here's why. Instead, like now as an adult doing your own research, having access to the unbarred internet on in your phone, it is like, oh my God, there's so many things wrong and getting worse. What do you mean? How is this happening?
Yeah.
Ah.
No, but I do appreciate that they had the note at the end that says civil rights fights continue to this day.
Yep.
Because I didn't know if they would do that or if they'd.
Again, for a book from the 90s.
Good job. Good job, Connie and American Girl
We're
and Pleasant
proud.
Company.
That's right.
For now. But we do know that Valerie wrote Josefina, so we're gonna be on you again.
It's gonna be interesting.
So my final thoughts. I love Addie, but I think I will be glad to not be so sad for the next books, hopefully.
Yes.
I think these stories were beautifully written and I think everything was handled really well. And I'm very glad that they got a Black author to write them. I think Connie did like an amazing job telling this story. And I think, especially as we keep saying, it was the 90s. I know we were both a little bit nervous when we were going into Addie that the author would be not Black. So I'm glad they did because I think it shows and I think it was the right decision. It's obviously the right decision, but I think it like is clearly like she wrote such a good story that had so much heart and like kind of like personality in it. Like, they felt personal, you know?
I think maybe I'll dig a little bit into this before our next, like, just yapping episode. I think it's interesting now, having finished Addie, because I know I've watched a couple YouTube videos before talking about more modern controversies from Pleasant Company and American Girl, like the girl of the year basically not being a person of color for, like, a number of years, things like that, or, like, people thinking, like, oh, I think, like, Black girl's gonna be like the doll and then like them pulling it at the last second and replacing it. So I would be interested to kind of see like when the switch happened, because I feel, and I know we talked about like Kirsten is getting some rewrites and likely I'm sure some of the other girls as they get re-released will be changed. I'd be interested to see kind of like when the switch happened, because I feel, and I guess we'll see how we feel about Josefina and Kaya when we get to her, but they've handled so far it much more delicately and much more impressively than, like you said, either of us, I think, were originally giving them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's all been good. It's sad to have so much loss in a children's book, but I think it shows how hard and unfair life was for newly freed people, which I think is an interesting... These are supposed to be educational and entertaining books, and I think this was hits both. They're not all... This doesn't say it's happy, educational, entertaining. You know, it's educational and entertaining. And I said I had a lot of good fun reading them, despite the sadness. I thought they were really well written. And I'm excited for our next girl, Josefina. and I don't think I've read anything other than Meet Josefina.
Yeah, she's, I feel like, the doll. I don't know.
She's very shy.
I know I normally say I don't know anything about the dolls.
Yeah.
I truly don't know anything about
her. Well, you're covering
her.
It. She'll be
like
fun.
A goat.
Yeah, she has some cute costumes, too.
Yeah, I haven't looked yet.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to be dazzled each time.
I'm excited. Yeah, I haven't read any of her books besides maybe...
I'm pretty sure she does get an animal, though.
She's got to get a goat.
I think so.
Mkabara.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat that. I said that your note kind of that we've talked about between, like, the balance between the grief and the happiness in these books, it just, we already said my feelings here, so skip that one. I said, honestly, I think Addie was probably the best story set holistically for me so far. I think her story was moving and poignant and a standout amongst the other dolls so far. By the end, I like that we got a sense of who she was. I know we joked that like she kind of was giving Kirsten syndrome, but by the end, I think like the grief she goes through and the complexity of her emotions shows a different type of girl that you're allowed to be, which I found was charming. And I like that who she is fundamentally is formed by the happiness, the grief, the sadness, the pain, the joys of like being a formerly enslaved person and like the burden that you carry with that as a child, but that like she still gets to be an American girl.
Yeah.
By the end of things. So obviously she's less silly and goofy. We had less jokes to make, but I don't think the show's any worse for it. I think it's nice to sometimes, like we said, it will be nice to have a break from this level of heaviness.
But we contain multitudes as hosts of an American Girl podcast.
We contain multitudes. And I said, I'm excited to meet Josefina. I said, I literally don't know much about her. Fucking take a shot every time I say that when we talk about a new girl. And I had a guess that I suspect she'll continue our trend of having her historical setting influence her story more so than the first of our series of gals, parentheses, white.
Yes.
And parentheses.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I think she'll be fun.
And I've been to Santa Fe a lot, so I can speak to that.
Santa Fe.
Is that a song?
Have you ever seen Newsies?
No.
You've never seen Newsies?
I've not. We can watch it.
Well, we have to watch the original one, which Christian Bale stars in.
Yes, I know that.
And then we can watch the Broadway high-res recording.
Okay, perfect. Good to know.
You've never seen Newsies?
I've never seen
Newsies.
About
the newsboy strike?
No, I know all about it. But...
And one of the boys is like, he wants to go to Santa Fe. The Act One Ender song is Santa Fe because if he's got nothing if he ain't got Santa Fe.
It's a pretty town.
It's a great town.
We could record. No, we can't. It's too soon. Say we could record the Josefina episodes.
Let's go there right now.
Let's go.
Get in the car, Caroline.
And if you guys want to go to Santa Fe with us, then share this with someone who you would eat a sweet potato pie with.
Share this with a baby who doesn't remember you.
Share this with your friend whose slate you broke.
Share this with somebody whose dream carries on with you.
Share this with your brother who is a little cheeky sometimes.
Share this with an old man who's lonely and is seeking companionship.
And share this with people you love and let them know you love them.
Yeah.
And we love you as much as we can people we've never met.
That's right. But don't make it weird.
Yeah. And guys, as of this, we may change in the next few days, but we have 298 subscribers on YouTube, which is pretty cool because none of our friends follow the show. So
love
you. Means you're all fans.
Means you guys really chose to stick around.
Yeah, you chose this.
Thank you.
And we thank you. And we're excited to keep doing this. We're excited to get through all the American Girl dolls. And then who knows? Dear America, Royal Diaries.
See what the future holds.
We'll see what we can do. As long as you keep listening. It's not that many of you. So as we said, keep commenting because I'll keep responding until we get more fans. So get into the upper echelon of our fans now.
Dive into the pool. Swim in the, frolic in the stream.
Just come on, jump in. The water's fine. And until next time,
bye.
Follow the dreaming God, for the old man is a waiting for to carry you to freedom if you follow. Follow the dreaming God.